Well, the remnants have remained, so it's good that we can be together. Maybe one or two more to come back in, I'm not sure, but we're going to look at Psalm 23 today, and I want to share on this with a slightly different slant, possibly. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. What a brilliant psalm. Probably one of the most well-known psalms in the Bible. Positive, full of the promises and intentions of God. But as I said, I just want to look at this psalm from a slightly different angle and retranslate, if you let me, the first phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the Middle East, shepherds operate a little bit differently than they do over here in Europe. Whereas we use dogs and vehicles to herd the sheep together and round them up, in the Middle East, the shepherd goes in front and the sheep follow. The shepherds take responsibility to protect, to care, and to lead their sheep to good pasture. If the sheep wanders off, they bring them back. Now, in the New Testament, the word shepherd is translated pastor, or it's another word for shepherd, if you like. So what shepherds do in the natural, pastors are supposed to do in the spiritual, to care, to feed, to lead, to direct, and protect. So we could read this psalm as, "The Lord is my pastor." Now, I don't know about you, but just saying that sounds so different to what I've read before every time I've read Psalm 23. We could say, "The Lord is my pastor." You might be saying, "Well, I thought it was you, Nev, or Jackie, or one of your, the cell leaders, or whoever may be." Well, they might be, but the Lord wants to be your pastor too. But I just want to add another aspect to that really as well. The Lord is my pastor. In Corinthians, for example, we are told that the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and the Lord is the Spirit. The Spirit is the Lord. God, there's only one God that we worship. It's a bit confusing to me as well as lots of people outside. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He's one, not three gods. He's one. So I just want to retranslate that phrase to say, the Holy Spirit is my pastor. I have all that I need. Now, I want him to be my pastor. In fact, I want the Holy Spirit to be LifeSpring's pastor, our shepherd, our leader, our provider, and our protector. So I'm going to look at this psalm from the point of view of the Holy Spirit is my pastor. And we'll look at some of the phrases which come out of that. And the title of my message is "Holy Spirit, Pastor Me." And I pray that that will be the desire in each of your hearts. The Lord is my shepherd. The Holy Spirit is my shepherd. The Holy Spirit is my pastor. And I'd like us to pray, Holy Spirit, pastor me. Now, for sheep to benefit from their pastor or their shepherd, they have to be prepared to follow. And that requires humility and surrender. If the Holy Spirit is going to be Life Springs pastor or your own individual pastor, we have to move out of the driving seat and let the Holy Spirit in so that he's in charge and he becomes our leader and the one that we follow. We have to hand over the reins of our life to the Holy Spirit if we want him to be our pastor. Would you agree? Now, this isn't new, I know, to lots of people. I'm just putting a different slant to it to help maybe some more of us understand that this is for every one of us. So we say, Holy Spirit, be my pastor, be my leader, be my follower. I'm moving out of the driving seat. I want you to come in. Take over my life. Take over this church. Take over all that I'm involved in. Lead me, protect me, guide me, fill me as you pastor my life. Now, the New Testament quite simply calls that repentance. It's just simply saying, it's not my will, but it's yours. Not my dream, your dream. In saying, I'm making you my pastor, we're saying, I'm going to live my life your way. Now, that can be a little bit different from the way we used to live our lives. But as we say, Holy Spirit, you be my pastor, we're now going to follow his leading and his guiding. Are you with me still? Some of us are. Good. So because the Holy Spirit has come primarily to glorify Jesus, guess what? When he's our pastor, our lives will primarily glorify Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit has come to make us witnesses, people will notice the difference in our lives when he pastors us. Our priorities will change. Our language will change. Our relationships will change. Maybe our TV viewing and the music we listen to will change because he's now leading us. We're following him. Our purpose in life will change because we've committed our lives to follow him. We're not going where we wanted to go. We're going where he wants to take us. Our families will change when the Holy Spirit pastors us. Amen. So, for example, if we ask him to pastor us, we will be better mums and dads. We're not going to be being mums and dads parenting in our own strength. We'll be saying, Holy Spirit, how can I help my children? How can I love them more? How can I bring discipline more? How can I help them follow you more? I think we should be asking him, we should be expecting the Holy Spirit to give us insights, to give us wisdom, words to bless, prophetic words to speak over our children. I know some people that when their children were little babies, while they were asleep in bed, they would just go up into their room and just speak positive, prophetic words over these little months-year-old children. They didn't know what was being said, but words can be spoken over our children. He'll help us teach his values, which are so often completely opposite to the world's values. Values of unconditional love, of generosity, of forgiveness, of serving, of respect. We will be able to teach them because he's teaching us. He's our pastor now. I say, I want to learn your ways. Your ways are a little bit different than mine, but I'm following you. I want you to be my pastor. Our marriages will be really good when he pastors us, helping us love each other better. So I just need to look at this psalm, and we will see this psalm, it's such a brilliant psalm. He wants to bless, he wants to provide, he wants the best for us. But actually it all comes out of that little phrase, when he's our shepherd, when he's our pastor, these blessings begin to flow down to us. So today, well, before the end of today, I really hope that everybody afresh will say, I want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to be my pastor again. Not independent of church pastors here and other leaders. Of course, there's roles, and he's called them to pastor and lead too. But at the end of the day, we're saying, but Holy Spirit, I want you to be the senior pastor. I want you to be the one which is leading and directing my life. And you know what? Each one of us can do that. You don't need to go through your cell leader. You don't need to go through your best friend. You can come direct to him. Say, pastor me. We might get it wrong from time to time. That's why we've got cell leaders and best friends around. But we can each come to him. Say, Holy Spirit, please be my pastor. So just a few little promises. When he is our pastor, he will meet our needs. That first line says, I have all that I need. Isn't that brilliant? When he's our pastor. In the context of giving, Paul says this in Corinthians, I think it is. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. When we ask the Holy Spirit to be our pastor, he's in charge of our finances. Now, often that's the last thing that gets converted in our lives. But he wants to be in charge of our finances too. And it's not like, oh no, if he's in charge, I'm not going to have anything left. It's like, oh yes, when he's in charge, I'm going to be blessed. He's going to meet my every need. I will not be in want. Because he is now leading me and taking charge of our finances. And because he's generous, guess what? We'll be generous too. You see, for the Christian, tithing is not the end of our giving. That's the beginning. The New Testament actually doesn't say very much about tithing. I mean, Jesus does commend it, but it's very little about tithing in the New Testament. It's about offerings, and the Old Testament is too. And so, you know, of course we give our tithe, but he wants us to be generous over and above. And he will lead us with generosity when he's our pastor. And we will be able to trust him because he says we will have all that we need. The Holy Spirit wants to pastor your finances. And when he does, you'll be blessed. But of course, this little phrase here is more than just from the giving point of view. It's in our lives. He will meet our needs. Of course, there's giving, there's responsibility. We give that to the Holy Spirit. I just heard the other day somebody, it was the husband of a wife in the church, he's losing his job. And of course, there's a fear that can come in. How are we going to provide? How are we going to make ends meet? But I think if we say truly from our heart, Holy Spirit, be my pastor. You lead me. Then he will guide us, and he will meet all our needs. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit's our pastor, he lets us rest in green meadows, and he leads us beside peaceful streams. He renews our strength. He guides us along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Jesus said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. It is when the Holy Spirit is our pastor. To me, green meadows, peaceful streams, they speak of refreshing, of renewal. To some extent, it was what our sanctification week was about last week. We should have had some testimonies. We ran out of time a little bit this morning. But it was just a time of stopping, of resting, of soaking, if you like, beside peaceful streams. There were no words to get up and go and do this or do that. It was, Lord, I'm just coming to rest in your presence and to receive again from you so that I can get up and go and do that. But it was just that sense of, Lord, you just come and recharge us again. Come and fill us again. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to lead us. He wants to rest us. It's not all doing. It's not all active. His plans are so incredible. It's going to take a whole lot of hard work from each one of us to bring them about. And his plans and dreams are too big for us to grasp, Ephesians tells us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us understand. Of course, it's individuals and it's families, but our dreams mustn't just end there, because he's actually dreaming about nations and continents. Revelation tells us heaven's going to be filled from every tribe, every tongue, every people group will be represented in worship and praise before him in heaven. Isn't that exciting? And he's called us to be co-workers with him. And some of us might think, and I think from time to time, wow, this is just too big, Lord. What can I do? Well, it starts with us coming and being led to peaceful streams to receive his refreshing, his spirit, his life. Listen to this from Isaiah 40. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope, or those who wait in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The Holy Spirit wants that to be our reality. And as he leads us and we follow him, we will receive his refreshing and supernatural strength. Amen. What a blessing. But it comes when he's our pastor. I think this is about number three. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I won't be afraid, for you are close beside me. Do you want? Life is full of dark valleys, which we have to go through. His presence, though, never leaves us when he's our pastor. We all face these times, and some of you might be going through them right now. Maybe serious sickness, maybe redundancy or unemployment, maybe broken relationships or separation or divorce, might be bereavement or distress and concerns about employment and work or finances. How are we going to make ends meet? None of that stuff comes from God, by the way. All bad stuff comes from the enemy. Did you know that? I don't know why we have acts of God in the insurance thing. All acts of God are acts of the enemy, really. God is good all the time. And we need to remember that. No bad stuff comes from him. But he allows bad stuff to happen. And when it does, he's there with us, walking through the valley with us. Bad things still happen to good people. But he's promised never to leave us. Some of us just heard a talk last week by Pastor Caesar, and it was basically saying along the lines of, God will use all the difficulties we face in our families, in our church or workplace or wherever. He will use them. He doesn't send them, but he will use them to hone us, to shape us, so that we can be better equipped to serve the Lord. And he will when he is our shepherd. When we are following him through those hard times and those difficult times and keeping hold of his hand, if you like, we will come through better than before we went through those dark valleys. We sang those words today, didn't we? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And that's the promise. To those who love the Lord, he will work these things through. A few years ago, we were going through a really hard time. And to me, at times, it felt like, where are you, God? Where's justice? It seemed to me so much bad stuff was being said about us, maybe about wider LifeSpring in some ways, too. It just seemed to me untrue, unvalidated, and people were just taking it in, and it was like they just accepted this stuff. And I remember saying, but Lord, what have I done? What's it all about? And I would turn on one of the songs which has ministered to me so much, and those words, "Oh, how he loves us," would wash over me. Through that dark valley, through those hard times, those words would wash over me. I'd personalize it, "Oh, how he loves me." And there was more than one occasion, just driving in the car, I just had to pull to the side of the road because I couldn't see. My eyes were just streaming as his presence just came again. And that assurance of his love, his unconditional love, even when and if I'd messed up, he loved me just the same. I needed those times of just coming before him and receiving and feeling his presence. He promised never to leave us. It just helps a bit when we feel that, rather than just believe it. I was in my office just the other day. I sometimes go up there when nobody else is around, and I just had a worship song on, and I was just meditating, and it was one of those times, it was just like the Lord just came into the room. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to sit, stand, kneel, whatever. It was just like I was just an emotional wreck for 5 minutes or so. So he just came and ministered his love into my heart, into my life again. When we go through the dark valleys, he's never going to leave us. When we're going through good times, he's never going to leave us either. But we need to make time to receive his love and that sense of his presence with us. And that's his promise. If you want him to be your pastor, you can come to him anytime. Say, "Dear pastor, I need to feel you. I need to know you. I need to know you're with me." Number four, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. It's an honor to receive the Spirit of God and that sense of his presence. He honors us by giving us his presence. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. What an encouragement to end with when we make him our pastor. Feasts, anointing, and overflow speak to me of blessing and prosperity. You see, God's not stingy. He loves us and he wants to give us the best. How do you receive those blessings from him? Make him your pastor. Say, "Holy Spirit, be my pastor. Be my shepherd." He prepares a feast. He honors us. His blessings overflow. And as we follow him and let him lead us, just look at that last verse. Goodness and mercy pursue me all the days of my life. It's God's blessing. It's God's plan to bless us, everyone, that we might be a blessing, to prosper us so that we can be generous. He said to Abraham, "I'll bless you and all nations, all families on earth, will be blessed through you." You know, I could sometimes think and, I would like that nice car. Oh, I'd like to move to this nice house. Oh, they're going on a nice holiday. Wish I could go on a nice holiday like that. Oh, I wish I could retire in my 50s, like some here, Paul, are able to do. I wish I had a better pension. Oh, you know, I wish this, I wish that. But at the end of the day, do you know what? I think I am blessed beyond measure with what I have. And I am so thankful. I might not have all of that, but I've got a nice house. I've got a lovely wife. I've got beautiful children. I've got good health. I've got a vision that the Lord's given us to follow. I've got good friends. Everywhere I go, mercy and goodness chases me. I can't get away from the Lord's blessing when I make him my pastor. That's what he wants for each one of us. I think we ought to have a hallelujah somewhere down the lines, you know. That's what he wants. Peter tells us, once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we'd not received mercy, Craig, but now we have received mercy. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Hey, I like this gospel. I like this message. Church, I want to encourage you. LifeSpring, again, why don't we just recommit and say, "Holy Spirit, please pass to me. And we will be blessed. If we just have the last slide, Craig. We'll be blessed and be a blessing. Love him. Honor him. Love his presence and worship him. He is the Holy Spirit. So let's be holy. Tell him we need him. We need his power, we need his love, we need his life, so that we can give him away to others. And he just wants to pour that out upon each one of us. And as we say, as David said at the beginning of the psalm, the Lord, God, the Holy Spirit is my pastor. And I believe we will just receive so much more from heaven. We will see more of heaven on earth because the Spirit of God is leading and guiding us. Can we stand together? I'd like us to pray. John, I don't know whether we could have some just background music at least. Actually, could I just ask you to sit down a moment? And I'm going to ask you to stand if you want to ask the Holy Spirit to be your pastor. If you want the Holy Spirit to be your pastor, your shepherd, your leader, then please stand, and I'm going to say a prayer for us just to repeat together. So if you say this after me, Holy Spirit, please be my pastor. I lay down my vision and dreams to receive yours. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. Shepherd me. Pastor me. Lead me. And I will follow. I trust you to meet all my needs. You will refresh and renew me. When life is tough, you will never leave me. I receive your anointing and blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just as John plays, let's just wait just for a moment or two on him. I've addressed this message, you know, from this angle, but we could have taken a verse from Revelation which says, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He wants you to let him in. It's the same message. Let's just wait before him and allow him to come into our lives again and to be our pastor. There's some people here who, for the first time, have thought, I've not really thought of it like that before. Making Jesus my Lord, making the Holy Spirit my pastor. I'd not realized that I needed to repent and turn, but I really want to give my life to him. I want to know that assurance of, yes, him being with me, but assurance of eternal salvation too. What we celebrated as we took the bread and wine is just what the price Jesus paid, that he could be our Lord, that the Holy Spirit could pastor us. There may be some here who've never before made that response and that decision. And just as we bring the meeting to an end, I want to ask you to come to the front to see me or Jackie or John or Jill or someone, and we just love to pray with you. It's a good place to start, just coming and say, yeah, be my leader, be my shepherd. And he wants to change your life completely. And he will. The more we let him in, the more he'll change us. The more we let him into our families, the more we'll be blessed. The more we let him into our workplace, the better employee we will be. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. Just come and fill us again, we pray. With all the blessings and promises from Psalm 23, we claim in Jesus' name, as you become our pastor and our Lord. Amen.
Blessing to give as well, you know. It's super exciting to be able to give our money, because the Lord says when you give, we will receive. And just as we're singing this last song and as people are coming up for prayer, if you've got your tithes and offerings, if you just want to come to the front and just put them in this basket here where it says tithes and offerings, that would be superb, because we don't use this money to put in our back pockets and go and buy nice houses. We use it so we can grow the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we use it so we can just get so excited and do amazing things so that Jesus can be really glorified and that we can do just such amazing works and just for Jesus. So please don't ever think it just goes in our pockets. Look at my jeans, I've got holes in them and everything. But I really encourage you just to bring some tithes and offerings just to the front. So, Father, I thank you in advance for people who are going to bring their tithes and offerings. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that it is a joy and it is an honor to be able to give to you. Father, God, I pray that you bless every single person who gives. I pray, Lord Jesus, you bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.